Have you ever given a woman red roses after The Bachelor?
It's a great question. I don't know if I've been asked that.
When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is Too Much to Handle. I'm Hannah Cranston, the host of Too Much to Handle, where we talk about the amazing, the raw, the ugly, the painfully funny, and just plain real truth behind being a woman in your 20s and 30s. These are the conversations you're already having behind closed doors, from everything about sex and dating, career pros and woes, to body issues. And we're just airing them. They might be too much to handle, but that's what we like. And today I am going to be way too much with the first guy ever to be on my
really?
Show. Yes, the first man, Nick Vile from Bachelorette Seasons 10 and 11 and The Bachelor Season 21. He just launched a new podcast and I heard you recently had an amazing guest.
She was really, really great.
Yeah. I'm just interesting, provocative.
It was really good.
Beautiful. Yeah. You guys, I was on Nick's podcast, but you have to check it out.
It's really good.
I think it was a fun episode.
It's really good.
I left and I felt like I was like, oh, that was like, we were just chatting and laughing, but also good content.
It was really, really good.
Yay.
You were fantastic. So.
Oh, thanks.
I'm the first ever. Why?
Well, because it's about being a woman in your 20s and 30s. So we're trying to get
you're just done hearing the male voice. Just.
I mean, aren't we all? No, male perspectives, of course, are important. And I actually think it's going to be really important for this episode because we're going to get into how to watch The Bachelor without feeling bad about yourself. So I'm going to break down why I've felt bad about myself watching The Bachelor, Bachelorette in the past. And I need your help to kind of talk me through it since we are, you know, knee high now in Bachelor season. But before we get to that and so much more, I want to remind you guys that I am giving away $50 to the charity of your choice and just $50 in cash money is for you for three lucky people. And all they have to do is leave a review on this podcast on iTunes and just leave your Instagram handle, your Facebook name or whatever so that I can reach you and the charity that you want to donate to. It's the season of giving. So I'm trying to give back and I want to give you guys the opportunity to do so too.
Great job. You have a great intro. You're giving away money to charity. I'm learning a lot here.
If you could just compliment me for the rest of this episode.
I'm being sincere.
Okay.
A little bit about me. I don't compliment easy, but when I do.
Wow, it really means a lot to me. Thank you. Thanks, Nick.
So far, I'm learning a lot here.
Well, I'm hoping to learn a lot here too, because I haven't watched a season of The Bachelor, I think literally since season one. No offense.
Not offended.
Okay, good.
I'm not employed by the show.
So we kind of talked about this in your episode. So I'd like to kind of dive a little deeper. Yeah. Because I think for a lot of women, even though we, you know, love watching The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, it's sometimes hard to watch The Bachelor because it does sort of play out patriarchy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it is literally a man choosing a woman from a binder of women. And if nobody gets that 2012 Romney joke, that's on you, not me. But do you know what I'm saying? Like The Bachelorette, I feel like subverts that. So I find it a little bit more palatable.
Yeah. Now, I definitely get the concept or the argument behind
yes.
it. Like I said, I pushed back a little bit just because I think it's good, you know, especially just in general, like 2019, I think a lot of these, I'm a big advocate for progress in general, in all aspects and all forms. Obviously when it comes to things like, you know, the you know, women's rights and, you know, minorities and sexual orientation. Those are all great things. But just in general, I like progress. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we sometimes get a little too sensitive, you know, when we're fighting progress or we're advocating for it. But, you know, we're all still like, we are who we are. And, you know, like primarily the people who watch the show are women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people who are complaining about that. I get it. It's true because it is like that. But when it comes to like our, in our daily lives, and we talked about dating apps and dating is, you know, I think sometimes there is that balance of wanting to be that independent person at the mm-hmm. same time, still liking the traditional things. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, women who like will say they prefer to be chased versus the being the chaser, mm-hmm. And things like that. Now, The Bachelor is obviously, it's a bunch of, you know, like on The Bachelor, it's going to be women chasing this one guy and fighting over him. But, mm-hmm. you know, when I watch it, I don't see a lot of that. And when I was The Bachelor, I didn't necessarily find that the women were fighting with themselves for the sake of winning my affection. Mm-hmm. I don't get that a lot. I mean, quite honestly, what always happens is there's always like a sisterhood or a brotherhood for the contestants that are on that.
Right.
And then there's almost like this weird understanding of, well, when I'm on this date with this bachelor, I'm just going to see what's there. It's really not necessarily, it for the most part, in reality, and even on the show, it's not a bunch of women bringing each other down in order to bring themselves up. Mm. You know, there's always a villain. There's always like that, those catty moments of some girl saying, I don't think she's for the right reason.
Yeah.
That, again, that's also life. That happens all the time in life. And I think what The Bachelor really is a really kind of microcosm of society. It's kind of in a way of like 1950s style dating, you know, mm-hmm. back in the day where it was more normal for women and men to date before they settled down early in life. They'd get married like 2023. But you know, now it's kind of a hookup society and things like that. But back in the day, you would go on dates. It would be far more conservative. You would go get ice cream or soda or go to a movie, and there wouldn't be this expectation of maybe hooking up. And then mm-hmm. you would maybe go out with another guy. And then eventually you would like pretty quickly land on your husband. And that's kind of what The Bachelor is in that traditional sense. And so I get the premise of it, but I, you know, sometimes it's also mindless TV of turning your brain off and not necessarily having to take it so serious.
Yes. And I think that's a really, really good point, because I do think that it is sort of, I mean, there's a lot of feminists who love The Bachelor.
A lot of feminists.
Like, and I love, and I'm a feminist and I like The Bachelor and Bachelorette. I think part of it is taking that minute off and like turning off your brain and like succumbing to the fairy tale of it and like allowing yourself to just enjoy it for what it is and enjoy it for what you have been taught in society, right? Like we grew up reading Cinderella, watching Cinderella, and that's what this show is. It is the story of Cinderella. Like a man goes into a ballroom and picks his wife. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it is sometimes can be, there might be some cognitive dissonance, but figuring out and breaking out how we can watch it with a critical eye.
There's definitely a lot of cognitive dissonance in it. And again, like, you know, like some of the criticisms that like will often come up, there's always one or two dates early on a group date that come across as very objectifying. Mm. You know,
on both sides.
Because
like the guys are wrestling with their shirts off too.
Exactly. No one ever cares when it's that. But when, you know, I remember one day, I remember Chris Soules' season. He was the farmer, and that a bunch of girls having a tractor race in bikinis in Los Angeles. I mean, it was totally ridiculous and very objectifying.
Also, it's TV.
It's also, but it's, again, like by definition, I guess, objectifying, whatever. No one's forced to do this. They're all willing participants. These are people who are going on TV with this understanding that they're going to probably do something that they're slightly uncomfortable with, where they have the choice not to. And they're all very willing participants. And so, I just, watch it so critically where you're just criticizing every little like, it's also kind of in the eye of the beholder too. Like if someone, you know, for all the, you know, I grew up in the Midwest mm-hmm. and I'm a big advocate in feminism and supporting it. And, you know, my understanding of from feminism is ultimately comes down to the concept that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that men and women have the right and the ability to have equality, and they can, and a woman can do everything a man can do and should have the equal rights to earning potential and things. Now, men and women are different in various degrees, and people are better at things than others. Women generally, not as a hard and fast rule, are better at men at some things. Now, some men might be better at, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are different, but, and some men might be, all things being equal, but the right to do that is, and the belief in that, I think, is ultimately what feminism is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes when we get a little away from that sometimes, where if it's someone says something, you know, sexist or seemingly sexist. I know as a guy, I've had conversations where you say something and I feel like I've rubbed someone the wrong way. And it's just like, that's not even what I said. You know, like I recently was talking about, I was going to talk to you. I referred to women being an intelligent, and I compared one girl to another saying, I think she's smarter than the other. And then some girl took offense to that as if like I was talking about women's intelligence. I was like, she's smarter than her. Like, people are smarter than other people. There are dumb men and there's smart men. And sometimes I feel like, you know, even when if I ever refer to those things, and I get her perception was, like, she was offended by the premise that by talking about women's intelligence, there was like this underlying note that maybe I was suggesting that all women weren't smart. Like, this whole idea, you know, like this. And I was like, that's quite the opposite. In fact, I'm quite attracted to intelligent women. So I talk about it a lot, especially when asked, what am I attracted to?
Yeah.
But there are people who are less smart than others. And sometimes when I feel like I'll get uncomfortable when I talk about things, and I like will rub some of the wrong way because I'm like, it's like on alert of not offending anyone, or especially, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
And that can be tough. So like watching The Bachelor, I mean, I'm rambling here, but I think we just have to sometimes enjoy TV.
Yeah.
Take it for what it is and not take it too seriously. And there's going to be learning moments, right?
And I think, I don't think that there's anything wrong with, one, I don't fault the show, and I don't fault contestants, and I don't fault bachelors or bachelorettes at all. Like, that is a choice. Like you said, that is a choice you make. Yeah. You jump into that. God bless you. If you want to be on a bikini and a tractor, whether you're on a TV show or whether you're just in your daily life, you do you, girl. I think what I'm getting at is not so much like for those people who just sit back and chill and enjoy the show, also awesome. Do your thing. Like, let's get popcorn. But what I've struggled with, and women in my circle have struggled with, is like, I'll watch the show and I'll be so involved. And it's not just The Bachelor, it's reality shows in general. And I'll be so, you know, into it and enthralled with it. But at the same time, looking at the cognitive dissonance of where I think my values lie and where I'd like to see society and the progress go. But also too, I think I struggle with like, there's like 25 skinny, toned, tan, beautiful women who are like all drinking champagne and not giving a flip about it. And they're living this going on these fantastical dates and stuff like that. So I think for me, I'm like sitting there eating my popcorn in my sweatpants, like feeling shitty. And then
The Bachelorette, you could be like, I don't, what do you mean?
No, but do you know what I mean? I'm just saying like, or like if I'm single, feeling bad about that, or if I'm in a relationship and it's not as magical as these relationships are playing out. Exactly. And I think that's what I'm getting at, is because I think women men too can watch this and start to have it mirror or start to compare it to their own lives, right? Because we can say as much as we want, like, it's just TV. But if you're watching something enough, it becomes a part of your belief system and you start to compare it to your real life. I remember watching, because I'm, you know, a fairly new fan, but I remember watching Becca's season and watching her just like fall into these guys' arms after like 3 weeks and feeling like, wow, I've never felt like that kind of connection with somebody so quickly. you know? And like that to me is where like I struggle with watching the show sometimes.
In what way? I mean, I
because I compare it to my own life and it's not, you know what I mean? Because it becomes part of our belief system.
But so when you watch it, are you take it for, I get you take it for at its word, so to speak?
No, that's-
And I'm not saying it's disingenuous, it's real, but like also-
It's TV and that's kind of-
It's TV.
But it does become part of your belief system if you're watching something every week and becoming invested in it and you're making,
it's also,
you know,
like a controlled atmosphere charts. That yeah. like exaggerates people's emotions.
Well, that's what I think is what I'd love to get into, because I do think that talking about like that atmosphere and talking about how that plays out can help people watch it in a way that is more conducive for their own lives. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So like,
I mean,
editing or producing and things like that.
I get asked about editing and producing.
Yeah.
There's both. Mm-hmm. You know, I will say that in the sense, and I've said this before, they have, you know, they, for every episode, they're getting 60 hours of footage condensed down to an hour and 40 minutes. So by definition, you have to edit that.
Yeah.
You're always going to pick the most interesting moments. From a producing standpoint, I always get asked things like, is it scripted? It's not scripted at all. In fact, I've only been on Dancing with the Stars in terms of my experience in any other reality TV mm-hmm. format. But I would argue from what I've heard and what I've my experience that The Bachelor is probably the least scripted reality TV show out there.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredibly staged in yeah. the sense that the situations are staged. The tractor dates.
It
doesn't just happen naturally. You know, the helicopter, someone's setting that up.
It's
a staged situation. The fact that you're in a mansion with other people is a staged environment. The fact that you have no phone or TV or mm-hmm. cut off from the outside world is this, it's a very controlled environment.
And how does that affect the psyche of the people on the show? Because I'm sure that's
really
going to take a toll.
It strips down... you kind of to your core. I watched a video, a documentary. It was really enlightening. It makes a lot of sense. And it talked about how our brains prefer boredom to pain. The general thought is our brains at its core, more than anything, it seeks stimulation. So whatever that stimulation is, it prefers that to no stimulation. In the documentary, they talked about, they showed this guy and he pressed a button and he received a shock, which was apparently quite painful. Certainly other than it being really painful, he didn't like hurt himself, but it hurt enough to be like, I don't ever want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
They literally asked him, would you ever do that again? He's like, no, that was terrible. They immediately put him in a, you know, 5x5 room that had nothing else in it. No phone, no TV. 4 white walls, a chair, and the button. And they literally said to him, you'll be in here for 30 minutes. Feel free to push the button. Feel free to not push the button. We'll see you in 30 minutes. And in less than 2 minutes, he pushed the button. And they asked him, what'd you do? He's like, I don't know, I was bored. And it was literally like, and again, it was just like the brain seeks that. And so it literally prefers pain. And so, and what I'm, and I bring that example is that what The Bachelor does is remove all other stimulation outside of the focus of this competition of these other people you're competing with and the singular focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so your brain is seeking stimulation, yet has nothing to do. So you give a shit about petty things because you're like, have nothing to do. You let things bother you that you may not, you know, anytime you're like, think about in life, when you're worked up about something, mm-hmm. what's the easiest way to get over something you're worked up about? Like having something else happen or right. something else distract you. Mm-hmm. And the more bored we are, the more we like, you know, it's like all the people who are like on there's Facebook chat groups who like, will just go off and like, you know, and there's like these, my sisters sometimes, it's just like, you're just bored. Like,
yeah.
Find something to do. You know, the more you complain, I feel like the more time you have on your hands for the most part. And I think The Bachelor does a great job of removing all other distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of your people's actions in that environment is based off the fact that like their brain's seeking stimulation. And when you really break it down.
Right.
So then you incorporate the love aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people go in there with this mindset. ideally everyone's there single with the mm-hmm. hope of meeting someone someday. Mm-hmm. And then you meet this person, obviously they're put on this platform. And interesting, it's like, that's not a man or a woman thing. You know, mm-mm. The way that's other than since the beginning of the show, now it's, they have the same formula. The bachelor or the bachelorette has always been someone who's been a suitor before, right? Mm-hmm. And so the people watching, they're like this mini celebrity. For the most part, the people who are coming on as suitors have watched their bachelor or bachelorette be on previous season. And mm-hmm. to them, they're like, it's a little mini celebrity. So yeah. when you get out of the limo, you're like, I remember thinking, oh my God, that's Andy. That was like, I watched Juan Pablo's mm-hmm. season. I watched her and while I didn't, she wasn't Jennifer Aniston. In that moment, it was like, well, that's kind of cool. It's Andy Dorfman, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and so there's this, immediately that person's on this pedestal because of everyone else who gets on a limo is just some Joe Schmo mm-hmm. who's, you know, and so immediately that person has this power, mm-hmm. you know, and you're constantly like, and again, it's all about just trying to find those things to do. And so, and like you said, if you like that person, if you do feel any type of connection, you're going to want to vet it out. You know, and people do this all the time in dating. They're always trying to figure out if people like them or not. People always, and when you're dating, does he like me? Does she like me? Mm-hmm. He bought me a drink. Oh, he looked at me or whatever. And so the bachelor is like
that on steroids.
Yeah. Of over, because all you have to do if you're the suitor is all you have is time on your hands. You have so much limited, so you have so little time with the lead and so much time mm-hmm. either by yourself or with your peers.
Yeah.
To rethink about everything. Those little moments that you had. And you can build up a relationship in your head real quickly
yeah.
and have a very disillusioned idea of what that relationship is.
Yeah, I mean, I do that every day. But I think for the show.
That's what I'm saying. And I think The Bachelor does a great job of like, it's an extreme, it's not that much different of people out there dating. And that's, I think that's why it's so relatable. It's why it's so popular because I always call it the swinger moment is that people love to watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette very critically. You know, especially on Twitter. It's easy to make fun of us. It's easy to...
they play into that too. They allow,
a lot of people do it because I think people so easily forget what I call their, have you seen the movie Swingers? Mm-mm. Wow. I am older than you, but it's a good movie. There's a scene in the movie, you know, granted it's an older movie where he leaves a voicemail, you know, on an answer machine. He ends up calling
her. What is that? Can you define voicemail?
He ends up leaving her like 15 messages in a row. Okay. Think of it like
a double text, a quadruple text.
Think of meeting a girl or a guy that night, yeah. gives you a number, you get home and you send a text saying, nice to meet you. And then your brain goes off, said, all right, that wasn't the right, I should have said something. And you text again. Oh, I didn't mean that. And then you text, and the next thing you know, you sent 22 texts and you're like, I'm psychotic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's basically the movie, okay. right? And everyone, some point in their life has had that moment where, mm-hmm. emotions got the best of them. And I think it's very fun and relatable to watch people every season have those moments.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. And I think like some of the critique of the show is like, you know, oh, that you're prioritizing finding a spouse. I don't think that is a critique at all. I think we all want love, whether you say you don't or not. I think we all want love. We all want connection. And watching people go through hoops, quite literally, to achieve that is a way to connect. And I know so many people like feel that resonates with them and they feel connected to the show for those reasons. And I also think it also brings people together. It's become part of a community that mm-hmm. people can get together. I know I watch it. I think the first time I watched it alone is when you sent me an episode. Like I always watch it with friends.
Yeah.
I do think your point about boredom versus pain and the way that plays out is something to pay attention to, right? Because it is these circumstances where people are acting in ways that they may not behave in real life because of the circumstances, because of the sensory deprivation. Yeah. And I think, especially for young viewers, I mean, this show has the youngest skewing viewership for all of ABC's shows. And it's mainly women 12 to 34. And 12 is young, right? And you're absorbing so much in your sponge.
You mean who watch the show in general?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's a statistic. You can disagree with me, but it's a stat.
Okay. I mean, those stats are, you know, I mean, The Bachelor is very popular. Oh, I mean,
but that's the,
it's
the
popular from 12 to, I mean, there's a lot of elderly people who watch it too.
Of course. But the primary demographic is women 12 to 34. And, the Girl Scout Institute actually performed a study and they surveyed 1,100 girls around the country. And the vast majority of them, about 86% of them, thought that the show often pit girls against each other to make the shows more exciting. And this one's a little bit more alarming, is 73% said they make people think that fighting is a normal part of a romantic relationship. And 70% said make people think it's okay to treat others badly. And so I think like that.
Do you think that's on the show or do you think that's us people?
Ooh, interesting.
I think it's very easy for people to blame.
I'm not blaming the show. I think I'm mainly talking about reality television in general. First of all, I'm a huge reality TV fan.
That's the thing. I don't watch a ton of reality TV.
I watch a ton.
I have seen clips of, say, like Real Housewives.
Yeah.
And a little bit I know about it, all it is a bunch of people yelling at each other. And The Bachelor has a lot of love and romantic moments.
Absolutely. But I mean, you just said yourself that because people are so bored, they are more like apt to react in ways that are more reactionary.
I think in general, watching, like learning a little bit about producing TV and being around it so much, it says something about us as a society. The things we find most interesting is other people's failures.
Because it makes us feel drama. Better about ourselves.
Yeah. And part of it is a relatable moment, you know, like the good isn't so, it's like even in every movie, like every, like really good movies always have that, like that moment of like, it all fell apart right before it's all fixed. It all fell apart. And that makes it sweeter to know that you almost lost it. You almost lost that magical thing. Like every rom-com has that moment where they broke up, And so they have that same format. It's still a love story. And so you have to have the stakes, the drama, the fights or whatever. And so certainly they're trying to create situations. When I get back to stage, what The Bachelor does is create situations. And they really let it play out. They often don't know what's going to happen. There are authentic moments. And certainly they're going to create stressful moments to see how people react. And as viewers, we love to see those moments. We love to see the two-on-one, whether it's two men or two women not getting along and who's going to win. And the reason why they keep airing it is because us as viewers love to watch it. Even if we're complaining about it, and saying it's wrong or we should band together. But in life we don't, you know, often we.
I understand what you're saying.
And we could be doing a better job, but.
I don't know how often I'm like fighting 20 other women
I'm not saying you
Maybe
are.
Maybe I am secretly and then my man is in trouble, but.
I'm not saying you are, but it's fun to watch.
Oh, 1,000%.
Right? And I'm saying, so like as viewers.
But people also like horror porn. Like that doesn't make that, you know, not problematic either.
But in life, I think we like when we all gossip more than we admit we do. When we have friends who are dating someone, the juicier stories of, you know, I can't think of a story, but maybe it's just some like, oh, she likes him, but this is going on. She doesn't know what's, and they got in a fight. And like those are the things we're all gossiping about and talking about. And when we go to, you know, out to the bars and, we could do a better job, but like, I think our brains are just, maybe it makes us feel better about ourselves. I don't know. I don't know if it's I think that's a society thing. That's men and women both do that. No,
I do think that we enjoy drama and we enjoy conflict. I mean, that's why we seek out entertainment that perpetuates that. I think if you like that, I like it. I love watching The Real Housewives. There's nothing more that I enjoy than watching a Real Housewife reunion where they're literally screaming at each other for three parts.
So why is that?
I love it.
Because I get stressed out.
No,
I'm like, I can't do it.
Dig it. But that's not to say that I can't sit there, veg out. I'm usually stuffing food down my face mm-hmm. by myself. And then I can step back and think about with a critical eye the components of that show. Because I think mindless consumption is where you get into trouble, because then you start to take those mm-hmm. themes yeah. that play out on TV that may be a mirror of society. I think you're onto something there. Yeah. That said, mindless consumption of it only then perpetuates it in society. And I think we can both agree
like
that—
like a chicken before the egg kind of thing? Like, is it—
I think it's both.
Is it media's fault or
more
is it—
cycle, more yeah. cyclical, right? That said, I think being a conscious consumer and considering the different components of it and how we can consume it with that critical eye lets me enjoy it almost more. Because I know women who love the show and who love reality TV in general and will be like, oh shit, this makes me a bad feminist. And it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Because you can't
exist in a— I don't understand that concept.
But you can't exist in a vacuum. Like, we're all products yeah. of this society. And you were literally indoctrinated to love this shit. And so don't judge yourself for loving this shit. You can't help what you like. And if it fits gender stereotypes, if it fits the patriarchy, but you still really like it, go do it. Don't deprive yourself of something that you like, even though you like it. I think the issue is just being able to look at things from afar and not just completely and mindlessly letting them spoon feed you. Do you sure. know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you said gender stereotypes. This is a genuine question. As a feminist, are you adverse to all gender stereotypes?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I will say this time and time again, I think there's people within the feminist community may disagree, but for myself and my personal choice, hear that loud and clear, my personal choice is to fit more traditional gender roles within my relationship. I put on makeup, I like to dye my hair and whatever it may be. And when I'm in a relationship, one of my favorite things to do in the world is to cook for my man.
Yeah. And I sometimes get confused because I always want to be supportive of my women friends and things like that. But it's just from an outsider point of view, it's like women want to be proud and should be to be women. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I hear the criticisms of gender stereotypes of things that are traditionally known as womanly yeah. female things to do are that makes sense where it's just
being proud to be a woman can mean anything.
Like,
depends on how you decide to be a woman. It can mean, you know, being a stay-at-home mom and cooking for your man every night. It can also be, you know, if you're a woman who's transgender, maybe one of the most women thing you can do is, you know, peeing with your penis. I don't know, whatever it is. Everybody has different—
That's what I'm saying. You can say, like cooking for my man without feeling like a bad feminist, right?
I think women, some women in general have that cognitive dissonance. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I jokingly say, there's nothing I hate more than folding laundry. I hate it. It's the bane of my existence. And when I joke and they're like, oh, who are you looking for in a partner? I just want someone who could fold my socks. Now, I'm an excellent—
put that in a dating app and see what happens.
I'm an excellent ironer. I will iron anything she wants. It has nothing to do with I need a woman who does my laundry. I personally don't like folding laundry.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I have no problem doing a handful of what traditionally might be considered as more female things. Like, say, back in the day, I'll clean, I'll vacuum, I will iron whatever. I'll cook for you. I love cooking. I just, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be considered sexist or misogynistic because I jokingly will say, I just want a girl who folds my laundry. If I were gay, I would want a man who folds my laundry. It's about the laundry, not that I think it's your role.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And sometimes we get so caught up on
Well, it's about context, right?
Yeah, sure.
If you came in here and you were I'm looking for a woman to fold my laundry with zero context, I'd be like,
I get it, but
bizarre,
sometimes
but
we're so heightened by jumping on that person. I don't think people, should feel bad about saying, I like to cook for the person I'm with without having to always explain themselves.
I agree. And I think compatibility also plays into that, right? Like if there was a woman that you were dating who also hated folding laundry and you were like, no, this is what you need to do to be in this relationship. Like that would be problematic.
It'd be problematic if guys like, listen,
do my laundry.
My mom
bitch.
Did this for my dad. I expect you to do this for me exactly. just because it is your job.
Yes.
That's an issue. That's a huge problem.
Yes.
But like compatibility, it's just like, do you cook? You know, like some people like literally will date someone because it's like, they balance me out. I'm bad at this. She's good. Like a business relationship. Like, you know, really.
I think that's.
But you know, so like, I sometimes think we get too sensitive and too caught up in those things and we lose the meaning of progress because it's like we're so easy, like we're looking for things to be offended by.
I agree with you and I love you. And I think it's also easy to say that as a white straight male, but
I understand that I when it comes to those things, I have like no voice or platform. I recognize I'm a white straight male.
You can have a voice and you can have a platform, but I like, it's not for me to say if somebody is too easily offended. You know what I mean? Like I don't get to determine and you don't get to or judge if somebody's easily, quote unquote, easily offended. Because like we don't know their life experience. There's so much historical context and systematic and systemic institutions that go into it.
Historical, but some of these people who like, I don't doubt that, but if you're a younger person, I think sometimes people will get offended because they think they should be offended less than they're actually offended. And all I'm simply saying is like, for example, as a white straight male, I would love, like, I want to be with someone who would consider herself a feminist, who would think that I'm an advocate for her.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
What?
Do you think you're a feminist?
I don't know if I will say like, I find it uncomfortable to me to claim that I am. Cause I literally was just like, am I allowed to do this? I want to be supportive to feminists. Mm. If a woman considers me a feminist, I would wear that with a badge of honor.
Okay.
But I have I'm uncomfortable literally saying like, it's like, well, you can't be in our club. Like, I honestly don't know. And I will say like, sometimes as a white straight male who wants to support women and wants to help them have whatever progress they want. Mm. Sometimes I get like fucking worried about like, can I say this? Can I say that? Am I just going to offend someone because I'm a white straight male? And at any moment, someone could be like, fuck you. You don't know what, like, you don't know what you're talking about.
No. And I think recognizing that is a huge step. And I think like the best way to go about that. And I know a lot of men and a lot of amazing men in my life, like ask questions.
I love asking questions.
And I think
sometimes
saying, like,
we're afraid to even
can
do
I
that?
Say that is a great question to ask. And like recognizing that literally a feminist is somebody who believes in the equality of the sexes.
Then
like
great. Yeah. You know, sure I am.
Yeah. Pay me a feminist. I love that. Want to like circle back real quick before we wrap up to The Bachelor.
Okay.
And to actually your love life, because I'm sure it has impacted your love life quite a bit, I could only presume. But I'm so curious, have you ever given a woman red roses after The Bachelor?
It's a great question. I don't know if I've been asked that. No.
Will you ever be able to?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I have on multiple occasions send, some of them have been women I've been dating. Others are our female friends. Whether it was I had a very close friend of mine. She broke things off with a guy. I know she was a bit heartbroken. I sent her flowers. I think they were purple. I'm like, because it's like, it wasn't out of. And then like red's kind of like, I love you kind of thing. I will, in a dating situation, I suppose even subconsciously, because I haven't really thought about it, I'm looking for alternative ways to show my affection.
That's so funny. Do women expect you when dating to like show out, to plan these like spectacular romantic adventures?
No.
They're okay with the Netflix and chilling? Not the sexy kind, like the gross kind.
yeah, I mean, it's, Yeah, no, I as far as I know, I've never gone on a date with some girl who expected me to
Where the fuck's the helicopter?
Go on a bachelor date. That would be a terrifying thing. I think I've vet those women out before I've agreed to a date in terms of someone who might expect that. It can be, and we talked about this before, it can be challenging at times to go on a date with someone who is a fan of the show. Who struggles with really trying to get to know me, what they think they know about me versus they understand the concept of I should try to give him the, and it's not like, it could be they're a fan of me. It could be they didn't, you know, it has nothing to do with what they actually think about me. It's just this concept of thinking they know someone about someone. And interestingly, we didn't talk about this, but like, you know, whether you're a public figure or have a public persona, everyone has to fight this a little bit now because of social media and the ability to Google someone. And even if you have a small social presence, people can learn things about you. I recently started watching that new Netflix show, You, about the guy who's like stalking this girl. And the very 10 minutes of the show, they basically reference how easy it is to learn things about people, which is kind of terrifying. But even if you're not a serial killer stalker, people often Google people. I imagine women tend to do it more in terms of
a security thing.
And just like, hey, I just want to make sure it's not going to get murdered here. Just going to do my due diligence. And so within that, and most people aren't murderers and they're probably normal enough guys to at least give a shot to, you might learn something about them out of context that you go into that date knowing. And you do like, do I admit I Googled you? Do I admit like I know this? Like, and so imagine, you know, if you're a public figure to like have all this information about someone. And so that can be a struggle of trying to fight that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think it gets back like comparing the reality and comparing to reality TV and comparing it to the show and how you like it, you believe that The Bachelor is like a microcosm of real life. And the whole premise of the show is to find love, to find your quote unquote soulmate. Do you believe that true love, that soulmates exist in real life?
I believe true love exists. I don't believe in the concept of soulmates in the traditional sense that there's a singular person out there. I think it's quite ridiculous when you think about it. It kind of falls under the line, and we talked about this before, of does everything happen for a reason? You know, like you marry someone, you meet your soulmate, and then they cheat on you. I guess it's very easy to say, well, I guess they weren't my soulmate, but like you can just decide who's your, you know what I'm saying? Like in this world, to the idea, like dating's very different than it was, like the Notebook type of style, unfortunately. I mean, I'm lucky my parents still together, great relationship. And yeah, they kind of have that. We met in our early 20s and we don't know what it's like to like not be without each other. And you know, it's beautiful, but scary to think that if one of my parents passes away, the other one could go shortly after, you know, because of that connection that they have. And that's great. And that's a beautiful story, but it is different now. People get married later in life. They have more dating experiences before they settle down, for better or worse, not to say what's better, but we are more willing to get divorced and separate. And in some ways that could be healthier. Mm-hmm. And in some ways I think people quit too easily and have lost that willingness to fight for things that are going to require fighting for if it really matters to you. And so within that, like, how could you put that much pressure on yourself to find the one?
Right.
I do think there are a lot of people out there that you have a chance to have a true connection with, that you can truly fall madly in love with and have a deep connection with, and find someone who really truly makes you a better version of yourself. That certainly if you're lucky enough to find that person, they truly feel like your soulmate. I believe in that.
Yeah.
But sometimes people fuck up and they make shitty choices. And in that moment, you know, if you were lucky enough to meet someone you fall in love with and they make a terrible decision to say step out of the relationship, maybe you're willing enough to fight for that relationship and give them a second chance. And maybe you're not, but you'd also deserve to maybe find that again. And maybe you'll be lucky enough to do that. And so within that concept, I don't believe in that singular person But I also think it's more romantic to suggest that it's more romantic to think that there are multiple people you can potentially connect with. Mm. And then it's up to you to, because it takes sacrifice to do that. I think it's far less romantic to say that there's this one person out there. Good luck finding them. But they're your person. You're supposed to be with that person. So really, you don't have to do anything about it. It'll happen. I don't know when, but it will happen. And then you're going to be with it. That's not romantic. Romance to me is like, listen, you're very attractive. And there's so much there's other people I could be physically attracted to that I might even have a connection with, but I choose you. And I'm willing to like not go on other dates with other people. I'm willing to make this work. And I'm willing to like give up things to be with you because it requires that. And I think that's romantic to shows love to make it work with someone. Cause it's so easy, especially in this world of instant gratification and social media. There's so many your access to people. You can fall in love with someone from France because you like connected on Instagram and like you like each other's pictures and you could slide in their DM and create up this whole like love story over DMs if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so not doing that because you found that person is romantic. And I think that's real love. And I think,
and not wanting to do that, to
give that, to have that conscious thought of like, I'm not with you because you're my person or I have to be, or like, I guess you're my match. It's because we choose to be with each other. And we both, if you stepped out, I guess I'll be heartbroken. I'll be fucked up for a while, but I'll get over it and I'll give it another shot. But I want this to work with you. And if you, let's say like you have a bet, like you're fighting, you're disagreeing. You've lost the spark. Maybe you decide to say, we've lost the spark. We fight every day, but I fucking love you. And I want to make this work with you. So let's make it work. Let's go get therapy or counseling and let's take a step back and like relearn each other. Those are romantic things I think couples need to do and should probably do a better job of. And I think that's romance. I don't think,
fate.
I don't think fate's very romantic at all.
I like that. I like reframing what it is to find somebody who you're compatible with and reframing romance. Like you said, committing to couples therapy or committing to overcoming adversity with one another. That's a really powerful form of being romantic with a partner that doesn't involve a fairy tale. And I know for so many people who, especially in the beginning of this year, are prioritizing and resolving to find love, to find a significant other, that can be really encouraging in a different way and a different perspective to really look at it, especially when you're seeing so much romance and so much love on in media and on shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So I think that's a pretty good place to wrap up. But because we're talking about resolutions, one of my New Year's resolutions is to really tap into my curiosity and really get to know the people in my life just a little bit better. And so one of the ways that I'm choosing to do that is to ask some profound questions to the people that come on my show. And I want you to answer these rapid fire because I don't want to dive that deep. We don't got that much time. All right. But what's one thing you couldn't live without, Nick?
Wow.
I feel like you don't understand the term rapid fire.
I probably don't. One thing I couldn't live, do we literal? Unfortunately, I have, but my phone,
okay.
I mean, technically I can, but I would rather not. I get a lot done. I use it for work. It's not a great answer, but it's probably the most honest answer that comes to mind.
Yeah, give me iPhone or give me death. I think somebody famous said that. What drives you?
The fear of failure.
Ooh, I want to unpack that in another episode, but we don't got time today.
What you like keeps that answer?
I like it, but it also I like want to get into that because I don't think failure is always bad.
I think it's a great thing. Motivates me. I embrace failure, but the fear of it. You know what I'm saying? You can have singular moments of failure. there's always an opportunity to overcome that failure, but living in that failure is something I fear, to feel like a failure. That doesn't mean it's like losing the battle, but winning the war, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel you. What keeps you positive though?
What keeps me positive?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be dark. The realization that nothing really matters.
I don't think that's dark at all. I think that's perspective.
I think sometimes we lose sight of, again, we all have a tendency of taking ourselves too seriously. We all have a habit of over-validating ourselves. At the end of the day, shit we worry about in the moment, we won't even remember 2 days from now. And so anytime I get like in my own head or feel sorry for myself, I try to have that. Also, like, again, and with that theme, doing a selfless act are great ways I help get out of my own head. And that helps me be positive by recognizing it's not all about me, which is hard to do because I love to like...
You love you. There's nothing wrong with loving you.
I can be very selfish.
It's good to be selfish here and there, but it's good to... step back and realize that you are a particle in a much bigger machine.
Yes.
What or who inspires you?
What or who inspires me? I'm often inspired by people who are good at things that I'm not. That might be like, even like traits too, in terms of the ability to... Again, maybe it's someone who's just really good at being more selfless than I am. It's very easy, especially for me, to be dismissive or whatever. And so when I see people take those moments or they, anything I'm not good at, I see someone do, I'm like, that's really, I get inspired by I think that's really neat and cool. And I either try to replicate that or learn from it. Some things I'm just never going to be able to do, but, I think I can grow as a person by paying attention to things that people are good at that I might be able to learn from and ask questions rather than being jealous of or make excuses.
I love that because I think we get like envy and jealousy can hold us back. Like you should be like, if somebody has something that you don't have, be like, ask them how they did it and be curious about it, but also be like, oh fuck yes. Like that's attainable. Yeah, somebody else did it. So there's no reason I can't do it.
The moment you start making excuses of why they were lucky or, you know, whatever, then you've just missed an opportunity.
Yeah. What is your intention? It could be for today, it could be for tomorrow, or it could be for your lifetime if you want to get real deep.
My intention.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, like selfishly, it's, you know, just have it to be happy.
That's not selfish.
You know, whatever that means. My intention for this year, I would like to meet someone, you know, I say that every year, but like, you know, I'm getting older. I know I'm picky. And
I think everybody should be picky. I think we should. Yeah,
I get that. And I don't say this like I'm picky.
Yeah.
I recognize that at this point in my life, I am single because of me and the fact that I've chosen ultimately to be single. Not necessarily because I want to be, but for whatever reason, I haven't settled down. And it's not because it's a lack of opportunity or options. I just haven't. And there's a barrier that I feel like a hurdle that I don't know what it is, but I probably need to overcome and figure out what that is.
Do you think your intention is to find somebody or to figure out what that hurdle is?
Well, you know, I probably should do the latter first if you know, but it might just happen. I don't know, but yeah, but the end game would be to meet someone.
Well, maybe you'll meet somebody who is online.
She better
online.
Be able to fold socks.
Or who is a listener to your podcast. So maybe that somebody can find you that way. Tell them how they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Nick Vial. I'm always ashamed of my Twitter. It's Vial Nicholas 28. It was my AOL instant messenger and I never change it. It's really terrible. And Vial Files, my new podcast. Take a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. We do Q&A with fans and talk a lot about dating, not necessarily specifically from a woman's perspective, but from men and women.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll find it enjoyable. Hannah is my most recent guest, and she's awesome.
It was a fun chat. It got heated. Like, we got heated a little today, and I think it got heated on your show too.
It was good. Listen, you got to push envelope. Like,
yeah.
I generally get frustrated with people who aren't willing to have questions, and that's why when I said the comment about like sometimes we get offended before we think we should be offended, because fine, you could be offended but still have the conversation.
Totally.
Because I think sometimes there's a lot of shitty people out there. I get it. There's a lot of misogynistic assholes and sexist people, and fine. But there's also more people who really want to like learn. And mm-hmm. help each other become more progressive. And I think by listening more and helping those around you, if just because they might say something that you find offensive or say something that you disagree with, instead of jumping all over it, ask questions, learn other points of view. And I think you might find that there's some common ground there.
Yeah. I think we found some common ground today, and I hope you guys all learned through our questions and learned through our discussion. As a reminder, you guys can always find me at Hannah Cranston. And I want you to please, please, please subscribe to this podcast and be sure to rate and review it as well.
It's really good.
I'll be giving shout outs every week. Thanks for the endorsement, Nick. And just a reminder that we'll be coming at you every single Wednesday. So buckle up, because it's going to be too much to handle. See you next week. Ah!